Shema Yisrael.
Welcome to the broadcast outreach of Living God Ministries with Aaron Budgen. Aaron discovered Jesus is his Messiah while preparing to be a rabbi. He now teaches for several organizations and is the teaching pastor for Living God Ministries. Strongly distinguishing between the Old and New Covenants, Aaron presents the scriptures from a Judaic and historical frame of reference. Join Aaron now as he reveals the reality foreshadowed and the new life we can now experience because of what the Lord Jesus accomplished for us.
I'm presenting a verse-by-verse study through Ephesians, and in the previous message, I was in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5, which says, "One Lord, one faith, one baptism." And in the previous message, I was speaking about one Lord. In this message, I'm going to talk about the subject of faith. Now, there are, of course, many ways to approach this subject, the subject of faith, especially when we're going to be exclusive and talk about the topic of one faith. But I'll get to that in just a few minutes. To begin this program, I'd like to start with just a general question. An important question. I think this is a really good question to ask. Tell me about your faith. It's just a simple question, and I would like to encourage you to think about this question for yourself and also consider using this question in the conversations that you have with other people. Tell me about your faith. If somebody was to ask you that question, if I was asking you this question right now, if you were right in front of me and we were maybe having some coffee or tea or something like that, and I was to ask you to tell me about your faith, what would you say? How would you answer that kind of a question? I think you'll probably notice that this kind of a question can be quite intimidating to a lot of people, and so be sensitive about how you may ask this kind of question, because if you're just intimidating somebody, then that's not likely going to be a productive, positive conversation that will strengthen a relationship between you and this person. That is a way that you can end a relationship with another person, but try to use this question as a way to strengthen and encourage a relationship with the person who you are asking this question of. Tell me about your faith. You know, be genuine, be honest, be sincere, and really listen to understand and to appreciate where they are and what is important to them. Even if what they say is totally wrong and is completely inconsistent with what we know is true, as has been revealed by our God, you know, at least it opens the topic. It begins the conversation, and that can provide you with many other opportunities in the future. But if someone was to ask you this question, how would you respond to this? I know that there are many people who would go right to it and say, oh yes, this is my faith. And they would aggressively answer that kind of a question. They may not be very coherent. They may not be very well organized in their thoughts. And they might just say a whole bunch of stuff hoping that something will make sense. But, you know, there are people who will just go right at it, and then there are others who will hesitate and not be sure how to answer that kind of a question at all. But it is a legitimate question, and we should consider how we would answer this question. Now, in the world that we are a part of, there are many organizations of faith. These are organizations of people who have assembled together under a common philosophy of some kind, or under a common faith in this case. There are many organizations that promote certain beliefs, and we can call these different religions or different religious systems. And these people are, in general, easy to find. You can just go into any directory listing in any community, and you can find a whole lot of different groups and assemblies of people representing many different kinds of faiths. And we could call this an organized or a well-defined kind of faith. But even when a person identifies themselves as one of these people, such as, well, I am of Islam, or I am a Christian, or some people will say they are a Catholic, or they are Greek Orthodox, or they'll get a little bit more specific about what kind of a Christian that they may be, Or they will say, I am of Baha'i, or I am a Buddhist, or I am a Jew. You know, these are well-defined religious systems that have a specific set of beliefs that define who they are. But even though those beliefs are part of the definition that is usually given when it comes to these particular organizations, it does not necessarily mean that this person embraces all of the beliefs of that particular kind of faith. And this is really important to recognize, because what you really need to do is you need to follow up with another question. If somebody says, well, I am one of these, you know, whatever that kind of religion or faith or whatever it is, you need to follow it up with a second question. The second question is, what does that mean to you? Because you'll find that most people may identify themselves as a Buddhist or a Hindu or something to that effect, but their beliefs are unique to themselves, and you need to continue the conversation and ask them, well, what does that really mean to you? Because chances are, what you believe might still be a little inconsistent with the official declaration of what this faith is really about. And so what is it about this faith that you really like? Maybe what are some of these things that you have discovered that are a part of this faith that you just don't really feel that comfortable with? What does that mean to you, and how does that fit into your view of the world and of the universe that you are a part of? And let people just answer those questions. And you will find that people have their own unique beliefs for the most part, no matter where they are, no matter how they identify themselves. They may have some similarities enough to really fit in with a group like that, but in many cases, they don't, and they're in that group for other reasons, because of their family, or maybe because they've developed some close friendships, or just because they're trying to avoid other groups. You know, people are there for all kinds of different reasons. I spoke in a previous message about many of the different reasons why people go to church, and these reasons have nothing to do with having a relationship with God. They have to do with having a relationship with other people, but it has nothing to do with their God. So when you approach this kind of a question, it's important to follow it up, not just with, tell me about your faith, but what does that really mean to you? And this is an opportunity to really get to know a person. And when you really know a person and they know that you know who they are, it can provide you with new opportunities to share things that you believe, that you think they would value, that you think they would appreciate considering. It's possible. This is a simple approach to evangelism. But regardless of what the conclusions may be to these kinds of conversations, it's important to see that there are many different people who have all kinds of different beliefs, but it turns out that there is only one faith from God's point of view, and the rest of them are probably better described as wishful thinking. That's generally how I describe what people normally believe, is wishful thinking. They are believing things that they like. You know, they believe things that make sense to them. They will believe things that fit within the framework of the universe that they want. And you know, if a person has a genuine interest in truth above and beyond all other things, chances are they're going to end up with an understanding of the truth as God has revealed it. But in general, that doesn't turn out to be the case. In most cases, people have something that they really desire. They want things to be a certain way because of what they have decided to value, because of what they have decided they want to have. And so in most cases, the kind of faith that a person embraces is something that fits with what they already want to believe. People are usually going out there looking for some organization, for some religion that conforms to what they already believe, to what they already want. They are not going out in general looking for someone to guide them, to lead them. They're not looking for answers, real answers to the questions of life. They already have answers that they want, and they're looking for people or belief systems that will give them the kind of answers that they really desire. And so, for the most part, what people are dealing with is what I describe as wishful thinking. In addition to this wishful thinking, people will often define their faith according to what they do not want. Christianity, for example, is very exclusive. You know, I mean, when you've got a God who says, you will believe what I say, or you will go to hell, you know, there are a lot of people who just don't find that very exciting. You know, they don't find that very attractive, very appealing. You know, that some person of some kind is going to tell them, you will believe this, or you will burn in hell for all eternity. And so when a person does not like that, what they are going to do is they're going to look for something that opposes that belief, you know? So people will sometimes look for things that oppose a belief system that they do not want to have, that they do not want to embrace a faith like that. They don't like that, and so they will look for something that is contrary to that in order to say that they are a member of something, that they've been able to assimilate within something, that they are a part of some kind of group, some kind of a belief system, because of their desperation to avoid something that they have decided they do not want to believe. They have decided that they do not want to be a part of that. There are also some other reasons why people will turn away from the true faith that God has expressed, or why they will decide to embrace a faith that they know themselves isn't really true, isn't real. You'll find that there are a lot of people who will do that. They will embrace beliefs. They will pursue beliefs knowing that they are not real. They know that deep down inside. They pretend as if it is. What are they really doing? They are trying to avoid the truth intentionally. And I have found that most of the people who pursue really esoteric beliefs, ideas and philosophies that are definitely outside the boundaries of what has clearly been revealed. When I find people like this, there is one common thread that I have seen with people who intentionally try to embrace belief systems or philosophies or whatever that they don't even really have any deep convictions of themselves. What they're really trying to do is they are trying to avoid the exposure of who they really are. That's one of the reasons why people do not want to embrace Christianity, why they do not want to embrace Jesus or the God of the Bible. The reason why is because they do not want who they are to be exposed. There are a lot of people who are exceptionally dishonest, very manipulative, people who are extremely abusive in their relationships towards other people to the maximum that they can possibly get away with, people who are just downright nasty and evil, beyond deceptive, and are just looking to cause harm to other people for their own personal benefit. And you might be a little surprised to hear me be so direct and so aggressive about this, but let me tell you, I have known, and I still know, a lot of people who really are like this. They are wicked, evil, nasty people who have devoted their entire lives to pretend to be kind of a nice person, kind of a good person, until they gain the advantage over somebody, and then they go for the absolute destruction of that person for their own personal gain, or even just for the recreation of doing so. These kinds of people do not want to have a relationship with a God who is real, who lives by the truth, who exposes the truth, because they themselves are going to be exposed, you know? And if they are hanging around other people who are interested in the truth, who do not want these kinds of dysfunctional relationships in their lives, then eventually they are going to be exposed by the people who believe the truth, who might really be listening to a God of truth who might give them divine revelation and or discernment in order to help them to see who these people really are deep down inside. You will find that there are other people like this. There exists a category of people who embrace all kinds of different weird and bizarre faiths because they are trying to avoid the exposure of who they really are, and they try to hide within these assemblies, within these fellowships, within these churches of these other people who are believing a bunch of nonsense, and everybody knows it, because they also are there in order to try to hide from the truth and hide from the reality of them being nasty, wicked, evil people who are just looking for opportunities to use dishonesty, deception, lies, and manipulation in order to take advantage of somebody else. And you know, this is a good place for them to make friends with other people just like them, and it's not unusual for people to do that, and so that they can create their own assembly of friends who will join in with them when they feel that they need a little extra help to really destroy somebody else. I mean, that's the world that we live in, and I have seen it so much, and I continue to see it all over the place. From what I can tell, it's just never going to go away. There exists a category of people that are a part of our lives who really are like this, and there just isn't anything you can do with a person like that, from what I can tell, except do everything you can to keep them out of your life. And if they are in your life, you've got to get them out of your life, because there is no reconciliation with a person like that at all. They embrace faiths, whatever those faiths may be, just for the purpose of hiding from the truth. So what I want you to get in touch with is that there are many different faiths in the world that we are a part of, and many of them are obviously filled with all kinds of distortions, inconsistencies, and problems, but those inconsistencies, problems, and obvious lies and deceptions are of no relevance to a lot of people because they want that kind of stuff in their lives. On occasion, you might find somebody who you can have an honest conversation with, but this is rare. I find this to be very unusual to be able to have an honest conversation with somebody about the system of faith that they have embraced, to talk with them about it and argue with them in a sense of saying, listen, you know, is this really true? Do you even care? And it's very difficult to find somebody who really even cares. They generally don't. They might pretend that they do, or they might pretend that they really embrace something, but they just don't. And so you have to keep these kinds of things in mind when you are having these conversations with people about what is their faith and why, and what does it really mean to them. All right, now in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5, Paul writes that there is one faith. And what I want you to see about this is that from God's point of view, there really is one and only one. But the way that that is defined is to say that there is one that is true and there are many that are not. But what you have to follow up with is the question of what are the specific truths that define the one faith. This has to be defined. It's very easy for anyone to identify themselves as a Christian who believes in God, who believes in Jesus, who believes in the gospel. It's easy to find somebody like this, and you ask them to tell you about their faith, and they will come up with a lot of stuff that has no relevance to the specific truths that would be what God would expect somebody to believe in order to be a representative or to be a member of the one faith that He has defined. Let me give you an example. If you consider a definition of faith found in Hebrews chapter 11, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's a standard definition, and you will quite likely find somebody who will just quote it to you when you ask them to tell you about their faith. They'll just quote this. Well, you know, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen." But let's take each one of those one at a time. The substance of things hoped for. What does that really mean? I'll tell you what it means to a lot of people. It means that they have a lot of hope. They have tremendous hope for things. Whatever they come up with, you know, you need to ask them, what do you hope for? And you know, some of these things might very well, they should be, things that God specifically declared would exist and or would happen. But you'll find that there are a lot of other things that people just hope for, and it is their hope that is their faith. Well, I just have hope, you know? Sometimes when they hear things about the scriptures, about their God, or about the relationship that supposedly exists between them and their God, they just embrace it because they hope it's true. You know, I really do hope, and that's the idea of faith. And people say it in that way. They say, well, you just have to have faith, you know? You just have to have faith. That's the answer. You know, if you don't understand something, if you're not sure about something, don't worry. You know, just have faith, which means just have hope. Hope that it's true. Hope that one day you'll see the light, you know, and that is not the kind of faith that God is talking about at all. He wants us to have hope in definitive things that He has said, definitive things that He has promised will occur. And He has provided us with enough evidence to show that what He has said is true. We just have to look for those things. And so our faith will not be in our hope. Our faith will be that we trust and believe that God has provided us with enough evidence to show that this is true. So that we have strong faith, not because we're having hope in something that we just hope. You know, we just hope for, but we have strong faith because we have a strong God. You don't need a lot of faith when you have a great God who has provided you with enough evidence to show that He's telling the truth. And so the emphasis from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 needs to be placed on the substance of the things, not on your hope, but on the substance. The things that God has defined that He has declared. The second part of verse 1, the evidence of things not seen. It is not about the fact that there are things you don't see. You know, I just don't see it. But I have faith. You know, that's what people do. And it's not about that. It's about the evidence of things. Not that you don't see it, but that there is evidence, all right? And so your faith is defined by the evidence, by the substance that God has clearly expressed. So your hope is properly placed. Your vision is properly placed on something that is real. And that is what defines the one faith. The one faith of God is that which is defined by the truths that He has revealed, of course, beginning with the gospel itself, with how He provided us with salvation, and the ways that He shows us that He dwells within us. And I will continue with this in the next program.
You have been listening to the broadcast outreach of Living God Ministries. You can hear all of our programs for free through our radio archive at livinggodministries.net. That is, livinggodministries.net. Do help us develop new radio programs and continue broadcasting on this and other radio stations. Send your contributions to Living God Ministries, P.O. Box 38353, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80937, or use the donation link on our website, livinggodministries.net. That is, livinggodministries.net.